your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad.
Well, welcome home, family. It's your mother and your father. And we're using mother and father today because it's time for some discipline.
Because we're pissed off.
Because we're mad, okay?
It's mother and father. If you were our child, we'd call you by your first name.
Today, we're calling them ABC the Bat. It's a full, we're not doing batch. It's ABC Productions Bachelorette. I'm so angry today. I'm wearing my extra long eyelashes.
Yeah,
I've realized
you need the length.
I feel like I've gone more of like a I felt more like subtle with my lashes.
Okay.
You know, I used to always have a thick long lash, and I've gone more subtle in the past like 2 years, but I've started to note that subconsciously when I'm angry, the lengthy lashes come out. It's like a
I'm surprised they're not as long as your head hair.
I mean, if I would have had
to where they're like curtains.
If I would have had that as an option in my makeup collection, they would be touching the cameras right now.
Right.
I was thinking about the last time I wore like really long lashes, and that was when JP from Love is Blind was criticizing Taylor's makeup.
Yes.
And then while I was putting on my makeup on this morning, I was like rage putting it on.
I'm like,
oh, it's the long lashes are coming out because family.
You're like Samson with the eyelashes. You could cut the eyelashes.
If my eyelashes cut, my power
rage?
Is gone.
They cut your rage. So the shorter the eyelash, the less rage. So now you know.
But I'm mad. We're mad. Mm. We're your mother and father today because family. What in the Hunger Games did we just watch? Listen, we've been talking for the past, I don't know, 5-6 weeks about, we're like, what does Jesse Palmer have cooking up?
Yeah.
There's something going on with this season, with his posting. He's got something cooking up. And guess what? He's not cooking up a new coffee brand, a new avocado
toast
promotion, you know, whatever's going on. What he was cooking up was having the after the final rose become a full transformation from Jesse Palmer to what's his name? Caesar Flickerman,
Flickerman,
host during the Hunger Games.
He's like, hello, everybody.
I mean,
welcome to
the Bachelorette finale. Oh, I mean, it was Evan. It was an entire like Katniss Caesar Flickerman moment where Jesse Palmer as Caesar Flickerman was talking to Jen, aka Katniss, being like, oh, Jen, we adore you. We love you so much. You're so beautiful, so strong. Now let's watch this footage of your friends during the games who you love so much get absolutely rocked. Okay. Oh, we love you. Oh, those tears. They're so beautiful. Stare at the screen.
Yes.
That's what it was.
It's absolutely Katniss Everdeen. And what was his name?
Caesar Flickerman.
No. The her love interest.
Well, No,
I'm saying
because PETA,
but
you
no,
know,
of course, but I'm
we
saying,
love.
But I'm saying the concept
let
of
not,
like,
yes.
You're about to die. Let's watch it on screen, everyone.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Oh, I was watching it and I felt like my body was like out of itself, like astral projecting. And I'm like, I feel as if I'm in a movie in the year, you know, 2125. And it's just some sort of like apocalyptic.
Because the guy in Hunger Games 2 would kind of have this kind of feigned sympathy as well. He'd be like, we feel so bad for you. And you are so amazing. And we worship the ground you walk on.
And we love you. And look at the dress, everybody.
Yeah,
look at the dress.
Look at the dress, everyone. Yeah, it was very like fake sympathy energy.
Well, and just like when JP was saying like, you know, we all decided, which, you know, by the way, I understand that it's not necessarily Jesse Palmer making these calls, but I don't know, whatever. Whoever head honcho in the production, executive producer, whoever did this and made these choices needs to be fired immediately.
Yeah.
But when Jesse Palmer was having those moments where he was like, you know, we all decided that it would be most appropriate to not show the proposal before and let you have your moment, Jen, to address Devin before. And now we're going to have you sitting on the couch next to him after you've discussed when he broke up with you. I mean, she literally even said, He's like, now, should we watch it on? That was such a Hunger Games moment, yeah, too, where Caesar was like, should we watch it on
also,
screen?
Also.
And Katniss, a.k.a. Jen, says, Jen literally said, do I have a choice?
That proved the bullshit. Because before that, he goes, it was so traumatic. We decided to wait, basically, to get her blessing.
And she's
and
like.
And then she goes, do I have a choice? So that was complete bullshit and fake, like, we love you, we're here for you. Because also, he made it sound like they were going to show it 3 weeks ago and they waited until she was here to get like her okay.
Right.
It was like, you mean you waited 5 minutes? Like, instead of showing it before she came out, you showed it, made her watch it?
Well, and also, you're making her do it sitting next to Devin.
Also, what they normally do is they'll make the lead watch the heartbreaking part in the show. You know what I mean? Like, when the person leaves in the show, they'll be like, well, let's watch back what happened.
Well, no, not even that.
But this was worse, because this was, let's watch back when you professed your love and everything seemingly went great.
Of course. But what I'm saying is, even that, typically, even when we have finales where there's a romantic proposal, yeah, and then the, you know, the final choice ends up screwing over the lead after, yeah, getting engaged, they still don't typically have the lead on stage publicly watching, yes, when they declared, sure, their love.
They usually do it to like the person who did the thing.
No, they don't have anybody up there really? Normally.
They don't have it to where like the person who left and they make them watch it and they go, okay, so what happened there?
No, not typically.
Nothing. Okay.
No, so, they show it and then they have either the lead or the contestant come out.
Come out. Yeah, that's true. Come out
have,
and then address.
But to,
yeah,
have them, her have to go through all of this verbally, the heartbreak, the trauma, bring Devin out, have the conversation, and then make them watch it on stage. I don't give a shit about him, right, seeing it on stage, but her have to watch, yeah, it on stage, sitting next to him. And then we hear her say, do I have a choice?
I love that it was live, because if it was, they would have cut
they
that.
Cut
you
that.
Know what I mean? So the live, she got in the like, do I have a choice? Like, don't act like you did this for me, like you just said 5 minutes ago.
And it was so upsetting as a viewer to watch them filming her in the corner sobbing, watching this thing. It was so upsetting, especially of all people to Jen, who we've talked about this numerous times throughout the season. It would be hard to watch anyone go through, mm-hmm, this, but Jen has not been someone who is super open with the crying emotions.
Right, right.
So to see Jen like dry heaving
crying.
And
we don't think we've ever seen anybody cry like that ever on the show. I mean, no. It was like when you can't talk, you're crying so hard. That's a completely different. That's not the tears rolling down the eyes.
And then the narrative that JP keeps going around and wrapping up with is, Jen, we just need you to know that we all know what a strong woman you are and what a beautiful example you set. And no one can take away the fact that you were the first person, the first woman ever to propose on this show. Hunger Games. Hunger Games.
My big issue, too, was like, if I'm being honest, and Jesse, you know what? I've learned to love you, and we've grown, you know, through a lot together.
We have a problem right now.
Is that you missed a huge opportunity to go into Devin.
Grill
now, you didn't
Devin.
Have to be mean or anything, but you could have absolutely been like, you know, explain how you can be the most dedicated, the most, you know, never feigning lover of Jen, and within a month saying, I never loved you, I never wanted to get engaged to you, you know, kind of energy. And
yeah, just to be like, hey, remember the conversation that you and I had at the bar that you made me leave my golf course for,
right?
And that you said, I'm so in love with her, I don't know if I could handle hearing another man or her say I love you to another man, I have to go talk to her. Like, what happened
instead
to that?
It was just softballs, like, you know, you said you loved her a lot, it's really hard, anyway, Jen, you know, there was no like kind of like, let me get at him
and
a little
Devin
bit.
Was talking in circles, leaving so many holes, which would have been so easy for a host to really grill Devin,
yes,
like proper. I was like, somebody bring up Jen's brother, for the love of God, pull James, Jen's brother, on the stage and let him grill Devin, because, yeah, he has the good questions.
Yes.
Okay. I genuinely, like, we were sitting there watching this and I just wanted to turn it off. I was like, I can't watch this, because the way that they treated Jen and their lead at the end of this was so not okay.
I think that's the thing too, is that like, she's the lead, which is generally like you kind of look out for this person because you're setting them
you
up for love.
You should be. Often right? they don't, but you should be.
But more than anything, I felt like it wasn't, it was unnecessarily cruel. Like we were talking about this. It's like
unnecessarily
it's
cruel.
Like it would have been actually better. I can understand the kind of like it's all about what's good TV, right? I can understand the
temptation the for I can just
understand that that's the goal here, right? It's like you guys are trying to make good television. So like even at someone else's detriment, like many times, if it's good TV, you do it, right?
Was bad TV.
But that's what I don't understand is it would have been far more impactful if she would have proposed,
mm-hmm.
they would have shown it,
mm-hmm.
and then they come out and they drop the bomb. But to drop the bomb, then watch it, everyone already knew that had happened.
Like you said, it was unnecessarily cruel.
And then you were just
kind
of sitting there watching her being tortured.
Yes.
It was just a little bit like, what's the point of this? Isn't really like, this is gross now. This
you
is
didn't
like,
leave, and Jesse kept saying, it's so empowering, it's so empowering. It's like, they did not leave Jen in the position to feel empowered. They right. left it like everybody needs to take a shower after that because it was so upsetting. Very. And I noted something actually when Jen broke up with Marcus. She says, I've been investing so much over and over again and it's not being handled with care. And that phrase echoed to me throughout the entire episode and into the AFR where it's like, it's not just Marcus who is not handling it with care. And it's like, I wish the head honchos at ABC, producers, whoever is doing this would have listened to what their lead said, saying that her whole life she's been investing and not being handled with care because they for sure handled her with the opposite of care.
Yeah.
And that just was.
Yep.
And exactly. Hence my eyelashes are growing.
Yep.
My eyelashes are grown growing. Okay. We got a lot to talk about in this specific episode. Yes. And I think, you know, we'll be bouncing all over the place, yes. but we can go through it in some sort of order.
Yeah, of course.
And I'll go scorched earth because yes. I'm so mad at all men and this show. Okay. Yeah. Love you, Jen. Scorched earth. Otherwise. But have to take a quick pause and say, my toenails look great.
They do look good.
I have beautiful. To say, you know, I was watching the show feeling all sorts of heat, but then I kept looking down at my pedicure and I was like, well, the pedicure, you know,
it's popping.
The pedicure is popping. In other news, the pedicure is popping and it has been popping for a while because I have been using my Olive and June pedi system and I'm obsessed. I've been using Olive and June pedi system for a while now and I get salon worthy nails from home, which is incredible because number one, getting pedicures on the regular can get expensive. With Olive and June systems, it breaks down to just $2 a manicure, which is incredible. And two, I can do it on my own time, like at 10 p.m. at night with the girlies chatting or while watching the finale, honestly. And when I just used to do my pedis on my own, it did not turn out great at all, I'll be real with you. But with Olive and June's pedi system, it looks amazing. I get a salon quality pedicure in one box with salon grade tools designed just for DIY. And the polish colors are so cute and they don't chip. They last 7 days or longer, which I'm so grateful for. And a lot of my friends use the Manny system. It's incredible. Just like the pedi system, you're getting that full salon experience, but from home, or take it on the road if you're traveling. And again, you're going to be saving some cash getting these gorgeous manicures with your Manny system.
Also, they have the Olive and June quick dry polish. It dries in about a minute, which is great for when you need to paint your nails last minute and don't have the time to wait 5+ minutes between each coat. It lasts for 5+ days. You get full coverage in 1 to 2 coats, and it's offered in 40+ cruelty-free and vegan polishes.
The quick dry polish is actually what I've used on you and Ember when I've painted your nails, yes. because I know you two don't sit well for a long time.
A little fidgety.
So I've
little
used
fidgety.
The quick dry, the Olive and June dry polish, and it's amazing. Also, check out their press-ons. Instagram free Aunt Katie swears by these and her nails always look amazing and they look so real. They're only $10 a set and the application and removal is so easy. I've watched her do it all. And it's so simple. It wows me every single time. Check out their press-ons, their polishes, and girl, again, their Manny and Petty systems. Visit oliveandjune.com/momdad for 20% off your first system. That's OLIVEANDJUNE JUNE.com/MOMDAD. That's oliveandjune.com/momdad for 20% off your first system. Okay, family, actually, before we officially dive into recapping this episode, which, by the way, we're recapping the Bachelorette finale, if we didn't say that.
We're just talking about some friends of ours.
Sorry, I'm just pissed. Like, it's gonna be all over the place today, okay? I can feel it already because of the irritation.
Yes.
But wanted to give everybody a quick FYI about a few things schedule-wise. So we do actually have an episode coming out tomorrow, our second episode of this week, and we're gonna be doing a call home.
Yes.
Because it's been a minute since we weren't talking about reality TV and we talked to the family. So it's call home time, which is one of our favorites. So please, family, any question under the sun, whether it be for us, whether it be about a story, about a drama going on in your life, relationship, parenting questions. We haven't done a lot of parenting questions. Like, send those in and send them in soon, because we'll be recording very soon.
Yes.
And that episode will be coming out tomorrow morning. And then as far as scheduling goes, listen, we have Joan's season starting not next week, but the following week, which is going to switch up our schedule a bit, because now our main episode every week will be coming out on Fridays while Joan's season is in session, because her episodes will drop on Wednesday. So our episodes are going to drop on Fridays. So we're going to kind of start that schedule next week.
Yes.
So next week, our one episode will come out on Friday, and it will be part one of our cast bio breakdown of Joan's season. And then the following week, Joan's season starts, and our cast bio part two will be either coming out on Tuesday or Wednesday. So keep your eye out. We'll post about it, but it'll be out part two, Tuesday or Wednesday. And then Joan's premiere episode, which I believe my mother will be on, coming out on Friday. So then our schedule moving forward will be main episodes on Friday, and every other week we'll have a Wednesday episode while Joan's season is airing.
Mm-hmm.
So wanted to do that housekeeping. But should we just get into this finale episode?
Yes, please.
Okay, so it starts off, we're in Hawaii, and the men are about to meet Jen's family, which we meet Jen's family first. Her mom, her aunt, her brother, and her friend, they're lovely.
Yes.
Her family is so lovely. Yes. And I have to say, I felt like the previews really led us to believe, and also the men, by the way, were like, wow, that was really tough. They were really hard and intense on us. And I'm like, they were so gracious.
They were.
I mean, they were genuinely just kind of like, okay, so we do have some concerns with this process, reasonably so, like most all families do. But they were really kind of leading us to believe that her brother was just going to be like, no, you don't get permission.
Right.
Her brother was maybe one of my favorite people I've seen family-wise on this show.
Yeah, I think he just did an amazing job of mixing the I support you in whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also clearly been a protector and kind of been dad.
Yeah.
That's the energy I'm 100%. Getting. Like, dad's not been around, so I've been dad.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm not just playing the supportive brother role, but I'm also playing the I'm looking out for you role.
Totally.
And he was so, he was almost like a therapist or something in his ability to kind of like supportively give her things to look out for.
Yes.
And be like, I know you have these tendencies. I know this, that, and the other, but then at the same time, I support you 100% and you're basically the apple of my eye and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and it's funny because, you know, we get a lot of, you know, we see a lot of families on here. And, you know, on paper, you could say mom was not the most like happy about the situation. But when you put yourself in that situation, you're kind of like, wait a second. Okay, so you just told me one of the guys hasn't even told you he loves you yet. And we're a week away from like,
I'm like, one of the guys shows
with that
up.
That being the backdrop, I would have lost it.
I would have lost my mind. One guy rolls in and is like, I'm, and by the way, Marcus can't answer a stinking question.
Right.
Like Jen's brother said, which I love the way he put it. He's like, he's doing ring around the rosy with all my questions. And Jen's brother was also just so respectful in his conversation where he was like, listen, I don't understand the trauma that you've been through, but I'm going to address this and your thoughts. And he was so gracious, but he was like, he's playing ring around the rosy. So number one, you have a guy who can't answer your questions and is also like, I'm not there yet.
So
I'd freak.
And we're days away from a proposal.
And number two, the second guy shows up and is shoving his chest hair in your face.
He was definitely He was two buttons low for a family meeting.
Listen, you know what? I love some chest hair, but because it's Devin and he now I'm pissed. I've been pissed off for a while, but now I'm real to be pissed honest off. With you, I'm like, get the chest hair out of your
It has
Devin.
Nothing to do with, even with chest hair. It has to do with like when you meet the family,
it's like
you go two buttons up.
It's the first time that you're going to bust out the chest hair. Shocking.
Not only that, too, but you know that her mom is like on the more traditional side. So showing up with the belly button level open shirt is, yeah. I mean, I don't care what your chest looks like, too much. Button that shit up. You know what I mean? That's crazy to just be like,
put on a tie.
To be like, you had less buttons buttoned than were buttoned. You know what I mean? Like you normally have like maybe five or six. You had two, maybe three that were buttoned. Way too many.
Like, Devin, I can't look in your eyes right now.
No, all I'm seeing is the dark cloud. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying, like, have some respect. So you're like, I got chest hair McGee and ring around the rosy guy. It's like, dude, the choices are not killing right now. Love you. But as my daughter, as my sister, this is not looking great for you.
Well, the first round with the family is Devin. And, you know, I would say that from a viewer's perspective, it went well in the sense that, like, you know, mom and aunt were like, yeah, you know, he definitely seems like he loves and cares about Jen and brothers. Like, I can tell that he cares about you and loves you. And Devin, damn Devin, he's got the silver tongue.
He does.
And he knows what to say to the family. He gives the, yeah, I'll be absolutely devastated. It'll kill me if she doesn't choose me. Also, you know, when brother's kind of like, well, you know, is she helping you grow? Like, he's giving all these great answers. But even silver tongue Devin, whenever the question was, what do you love? Why are you in love with Jen? It was always about him.
Both guys. And we said this before. Men. And do we say it now that we were right?
To some extent,
they'll be like, we knew something was up with this guy.
Listen.
And on paper, everything he would present to Jen would be good. It'd be like, you're saying the right things. You're all in. But there was something about him that we felt was off from day one.
Listen, day one, you know, I was like, we're not fans. We're not fans. Yes. And yes, I could say throughout the entire time that he's crushing it on the show.
Yes.
By, you know, the way that he's moving, his lines, his silver tongue, all of this. But it was that hometown date.
Yes.
Where that moment with his mom, I couldn't get over it. Where his mom, first question out of his mom's mouth to him was, is your heart here with pure intentions?
Yes.
And when mom is asking that first, I go, mom knows her son.
Yes.
And on national TV, that's your first question. Not like,
it's like mom was with Jeremy. You want to get married? Like, exactly. Why are you even doing this?
Exactly.
Like, what are you talking
about? No, Jeremy and Devin are going to the club, okay?
Exactly.
That's what they're
that
doing.
That shows a lot.
But it's like when mom says, is your heart here with pure intentions? You're like, mom knows son.
Mom don't trust
And mom's
you.
Probably seen son and heard son throughout the years and knows that he's likes attention.
Yep.
And he
likes to win
and is super competitive. And as now we're sitting here with this finale and everything that Devin did to Jen post, you're like, even saying all the right things and I'm in love, you're like, this was a competition for you the whole time. You got there and you go, yeah, she's a beautiful woman, a great woman, but all these guys now are fighting for her heart and you want to win. Yes. And you say anything it's going to take and you feel it in your body because you're so competitive to get to the end, to the point that you say, I felt pressure the moment you proposed. I wasn't there.
Yeah.
We felt it in our bodies the whole time. But, and I let myself slip a little bit last week.
Yes.
When he was pouring his heart out and I felt like Jen potentially was like maybe getting icked out or so into Marcus. And I let myself slip
I
slipped for a week where I was like, you know what? I still don't like the guy.
But maybe we are wrong.
I feel that he does really love her. He fucking got me. And I'll never forgive you for that, Devin.
No.
That you got me for a second.
But they
and
both
so can
turned...
you imagine being Jen when we were got?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah. Well, they both turned into Sam M. Which is, what do you like about Jen? Oh, here's the thing about me. Both of them did it. Mom asks Devin, what do you like about Jen? He goes, I like how she makes me feel in a relationship. It's like, you didn't answer the question.
No.
All you said was, I feel safe in the relationship.
She makes
I feel,
me feel
good. I feel comfortable. I feel seen. You know what I mean? And then they asked the same to Marcus. Marcus, what do you like about her? You know, I've been through a lot. And I see myself with someone like this.
And I want to be a father and husband.
I
want
to be a father and a husband. And I, it's like, dude, not one of these guys ever said anything about them. You know who did?
Jonathan.
Jonathan did.
Don't even get me started with Jonathan.
Jonathan was the one that's like, these are actually things about her that I like.
And it sends
not just about the way I feel around her.
It just sends a ripple of rage through my body because, you know, minus Jonathan and Grant, these men, like, just get out of here, dude. This cast of men, get out of here.
Trash city.
Jonathan and Grant, absolute gems. But the fact that Jen, who is an incredible woman and who has been so open in this process to growth, maybe more than anyone we've seen.
Yeah.
She is so humble in her ability to be like, oh, you know what? You know, maybe these are my patterns and maybe I should shift in these ways. And being like really reflective takes so much bravery and so much maturity. And she's this beautiful, successful. I mean, like she is just a catch and a half. And that these men were the cast.
Now, it was interesting.
Give me Jonathan, please.
It was interesting. The Devon. Before I had seen the end of the show, obviously. And I, we knew everything that happened. I will say, I saw a change in him when he met the parents, when he met his mom and brother. So there was a little less energy there.
Yeah.
There was a little less, like, you saw the excitement waning almost as if like, this is becoming too real.
Well,
I wasn't really thinking up until this point. I was just trying to win. Now we're here. And you could kind of see his kind of like, he was kind of like lackadaisical. He wasn't like on edge. He wasn't like nervous like he was. Like there was something about him in that meeting that was almost just kind of like a, I'm starting to think about this.
Well, you know what my theory is, is that I think maybe now again reflecting and who knows, maybe he just was like one of these guys who's like, I let the emotions just I got caught up in them. And then I was like, what? Never mind.
Right, right.
I think that his sit down with Jen, like, hey, I'm in love with you and you're not telling me. I think he was trying to get out.
Oh.
I think that was him trying to leave the show with what they call a bachelor edit. I think he knew Marcus was the front runner. In fact, I think I saw an article. Maybe I'm fully misquoting this, so my apologies in advance if I am. But I feel like I saw an article where Jason and Molly Mesnick, after the radio date or whatever, made a comment where they were like, it was Marcus's to lose. Like where Marcus seemed like the front runner. So maybe Devon was like, I know she's in love with Marcus. So this is going to be my bachelor exit because she's not going to say, I love you to me.
Yeah.
And then she goes, I love you, and keeps him, gives him the first rose. And then he's like, well, now I'm meeting the family. Because even during the proposal, he was so tight.
He was not overjoyed.
No.
He was like, oh yeah, this is awesome.
I think the entire time he wanted to get the bachelor.
Yeah.
I think so.
I mean, I would not, it seems completely correct.
And that's why I think Mama is just like, is your heart pure in this, honey? Because this is real life for this woman.
It was either I want to be the bachelor or I want to go out with Maria. That's clearly the two things.
Literally, I can't.
And I hate to say this, but Sam M calling everybody out, he must have been thinking about that too, being like, must add conversations on the side with Devon.
Let me say something though about Sam M, okay? Sam M, I've got my eye on you and I've got my eye on Aaron, because after this finale, Sam M and Aaron are on Instagram doing a whole cocky, like, told you so, told you everybody.
Doesn't make you not suck.
That doesn't make you a good guy, okay?
Just because you have an accomplice to the crime doesn't mean that you're less.
There can be multiple people who suck, okay?
Yeah.
I believe wholeheartedly that all of our reads on Sam M and Aaron are still correct.
100%.
And guess what? Sometimes when you suck, you know what you recognize? Another person who sucks. You see
your
a mirror.
In the shit
and
game.
You said for weeks and weeks, you're saying Sam M and Devon are the same guy. And you were right. And so now Sam M's going on this tirade where he's like, hey, main thing. I always kept the main thing and Devon didn't. And I told you all the whole time. And we're like, Sam, no. Just because you both suck doesn't mean, like, you know, whatever. But maybe you're right. Maybe there were conversations behind the scenes happening.
And they're in the limo, they're chilling. Maybe like the pre stuff.
And maybe that moment where Sam was like, I thought it was going to be Daisy or Maria. Maybe Devin had had a conversation with Sam where he was like, I thought it was going to be Maria. Mm-hmm. And then Sam's like, well, it's not just me. It's also Devin. Mm-hmm. But now he's going to play this whole like, I told you I'm the hero.
Right.
Also saw that I think he's dropping a podcast called The Main Thing Sam M Is. Like next week.
I mean, I hate to be a dick, but it's like, what is that? That guy couldn't talk on the show. What's he going to talk
about
now?
I'm not trying to be an asshole, but I do find it comical that the whole running joke was that he couldn't talk.
Couldn't string together
on the show, and that he's starting a podcast, which maybe that's a little camp. It's a little camp.
Maybe.
And he's like, it's the guy who couldn't talk, but it's going to be a podcast, I think, with him and Thomas. So I guess they are friends. We thought that they, you know, that Sam M was going to leave Thomas in the dust, but...
The Sour Boys, yeah.
The Sour Boys. Okay, but let's talk a little bit then, too, about the Marcus family moment.
Yeah.
And then we'll get more into that. But okay. We got to take another quick pause, okay. Family. So we obviously watched the 3-hour Bachelorette finale. And even though the finale wasn't super cutesy and demure, we were being cutesy and demure while we watched it because we were all bundled up and did some skincare whilst we were watching. God, we were absolutely glowing because we were using Oak Essentials. Family, they have the most hydrating skincare must-haves, like their moisture-rich balm and dew body oil. Unreal. Oak Essentials skincare essentials are cruelty-free, non-GMO, and organic whenever possible. Plus, they're free from silicones, colorants, sulfates, and a host of other nasties because clean beauty isn't just about you. It's about the earth we share. And it's founded by Jenny Kane, whom we obviously already love. And this skincare, let me tell you, people, it is luxurious.
Yeah, their products are really incredible. My current personal fave is the Moisture Rich Balm. It's unlike any moisturizer I've ever tried. It's so smooth and it legit melts onto your skin.
It's a melt.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's designed to support collagen production and deliver intense hydration for an instant radiant glow, which perfect timing so you can say goodbye to fall dryness. I get so dry during the fall.
Yeah, me too.
Not anymore. And Oak Essentials only uses the best clean ingredients.
And also with the Moisture Rich Balm, it gives you this like luminous radiance I haven't had with anything else. IRL, I've just been putting on this Moisture Rich Balm, that's it, and going out. And people have been complimenting my skin, which just, it thrills me to the tips of my toes. So thank you, Oak Essentials. Okay, my other obsession is the Oak Essentials Dew Body Oil. Skincare doesn't stop at your face. You can't forget about your body. The Dew Body Oil, it's a lightweight, fast-absorbing body oil. It enhances tone and texture, hydrates, and leaves you with this stunning head-to-toe glow without any greasy residue. I am in love. After I apply all over, I feel like a hydrated goddess. I'm not greasy. I'm just glowing. It's so radiant. It's almost like makeup for your legs. Plus, it smells so good and fresh. It might just even replace your perfume, for real. Say hello to clean, spa-quality skincare essentials that deliver a moisture-rich glow. Our followers will get 15% off your first order when you use code MOMDAD15 at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at OakEssentials.com, promo code MOMDAD15. That's OakEssentials.com, promo code MOMDAD15. Go ahead and treat yourself. Get your best radiant skin this fall with Oak Essentials. Okay, let's get a little more into when Marcus met the family. So Marcus comes in, and another moment where I was like, James is just, to me, like you said, could be a therapist, also should be like the king interviewer for like massive jobs that like involve maybe like the government or something. Because
he's intimidatingly calm.
Yes, and he's also just like so, he's perceptive. Obviously, you know, he got more green flags from Devin and ended up not, but I get why he got them. He still was like unsure. But with Marcus, something that I noted that he said right away was Marcus came in and they're like, hey, can you tell us a little bit about you? And he told them all about like his full backstory with the trauma of the foster care. He talked about the trauma with the military and gave them all that information. And James was so respectful in the sense that he was like, wow, I'm so appreciative of how vulnerable Marcus was being talking about this trauma. But at the same time, I was looking for him to talk about him and Jen.
Yes.
And that was
all about Marcus. And that's kind of been my problem with Marcus since day one.
Right.
Is like every single time him and Jen hang out, it's just, here's all my trauma. Here's everything I've gone through. Here's my issues. And it's like, that's a part of it, obviously.
Of course.
You gotta talk about yourself.
That's part of who you are. Yes.
But it was, you could take the first date Marcus had and just copy and paste them to all the dates. Because it was this, I want to be a father. And I put a lot of pressure on myself to be a father. And I've gone through a lot. And that's it. And it's like, you never like asking questions. It's just nonstop me, which is, again, a part of it. But it was their entire relationship was him repeating himself about his own stuff.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like, well, obviously, when it's all me, you're not ready for an us. Because you need to work on yourself.
Yes.
And go through the therapy and all that yourself before then me can become an us. And then you're able
to... And listen, I have no problem with someone being that way. Being like, I am going through a lot. I'm struggling. I'm not ready for this. Just don't stay till the end, bro.
Oh, well, we'll talk about that when Marcus
comes out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of my general thought. It's like, okay, cool. But like, every date's a copy paste.
Yes.
If you're warring with it that early on, get out. Like, it's the weirdest thing to stay so long. It's like, what are you doing?
And the rest of the family moments with Marcus were him doing a lot of silence. And like his Jen's brother said, a lot of ring around the rosy and not answering the question.
Yes.
And then when we got to the end where Jen was talking with Marcus, you know, she's asking him, she's like, she's digging.
Yes.
She's like, how do you see this ending for us? And again, like you said, it's the same. It's cyclical every single time. I'm uncertain. It's probably because I'm putting a lot of pressure on myself. He kept saying at certain points, he's like, maybe it's because I'm putting a lot. You're like, dude, we've heard the same thing over and over. By the time they had their wrap up conversation, it was just like, it's been the same, like you said, few sentences over and over and over again. And at this point, we see Jen getting over it.
Yes.
Now, okay, I want to talk about this. So she lets Marcus go. Her and Devin then go on their last one-on-one date. And overall, you know, they end up doing the Hawaiian spiritual ceremony. They're throwing their fears, the rocks into the ocean. It's this beautiful ceremony. Jen, this is where I see a switch with Jen. So leading up to this the entire time, you and I have said, I feel like Jen isn't either maybe attracted to Devin or there's something there, or like she said before, it feels too good to be true.
Yes.
And I've put a wall up. Something switched. And we had talked about it in the past few episodes where we're like, either she's not going to get to the point where she's able to go from maybe like this guy is like a really solid friend connection to attraction. It's either going to happen or it's not. I think what happened in the meeting of the family into this one-on-one date and seeing how then Marcus had been, she actually did that switch where she got into that zone where all of a sudden was like, you know what? I'm going to go for something different, at least what was perceivably different.
Of course.
Right. I'm going to go for something different and go for the guy who really is vocalizing.
Who's how giving much, me everything I'm asking for on paper.
Who's vocalizing how much he cares about me, how much he loves about me. And this was, to me, probably one of the more heartbreaking parts of this entire season finale, is that we saw Jen actively trying to grow. Like her brother said, you know, she typically goes for these emotionally unavailable men. And because Devin tricked her, which he did, fully tricked her, she was in this situation where she shifted to this place where she's like, you know what? I'm going to go for what I deserve. Yeah. And we watched her shift. And it was like all of a sudden you saw a different energy of like love and attachment with Devin, where it's like, this is my guy. And she could easily push aside the emotionally unavailable Marcus. The most devastating, one of the more devastating
little
parts
did
of
she
it
know,
to me.
He was just like all the toxic guys that she had mentioned in the past.
But like
just wolf in sheep's clothing.
A different version of it. More of like a love bombing version of it, I guess.
She thought it was almost like a sure
thing.
Like, I've never been with a sure thing before. This is a little scary for me, but you know what? I'm going to go for it. This is what I want. And then he ends up being just like the guy that you
fully tricked her.
Yes.
Fully tricked her. And some like the audience as well.
Yeah.
But in general, you know, from their one-on-one date, it's like you see her, she seems to be falling. She's releasing. And even when she let go of that rock, it was like there was a release of her saying, I'm fearful of letting myself receive.
Fearful of rejection.
Fearful of abandonment. And then I'm also going to let my, fearful of abandonment, and also I'm going to let myself receive love like I never have before.
It's almost like that was when Devin started turning off.
Yeah.
It's almost like he was on the chase.
Yeah.
And then he got it. And then he's like,
I guess he's either one of those guys who like only likes to chase, or he just wanted to be the bachelor.
Right.
And thought he was going to get
out. But it's interesting. Yeah. I remember even the rock thing. He kind of grabbed just a little rock and he wasn't in it. Before, he was really in the experiences. Remember, like with the Maori, he was like really in and he was talking. And he seemed like he was really engaged. She was the one that was a little bit like apprehensive with him. Mm-hmm. It was almost like once he saw her give in fully, he was almost like, oh, it's interesting looking back now and seeing the difference in the energies.
Well, they then have, you know, the evening portion and he gives this gift that he had actually gotten from the Maori people. And she's saying that she's feeling this unconditional love from him. And again, now like thinking about what she said later, and I know I'm jumping forward, but when she was sitting with Devin on the couch and she said, every week you're online posting memes, jokes, photos of us on your Instagram, and every week my heart is breaking. And I'll tell you what, Jen hasn't been posting a lot from her season. There's been some photos of herself, but like, she's been just like, imagine watching this and being like, I got over this hump that I was struggling with going after emotionally unavailable men. And I'm going to now love myself by extending myself to this man, by him saying he's insecure. I'm going to show him how much I love him. I'm taking control. I'm going to propose. And then he does a full 180 on me day of after I proposed to him. And then having to watch that back every single week. And especially like this scene where he's giving her this gift from the Maori people and all the memories and her being like, it's unconditional love. Oh my God. I like cannot. And then they show the final date of Marcus and Jesse. Marcus and Jesse. I mean, technically it's the final date of Marcus and Jesse because they do have a sit down right before where Jesse's like, oh, I have to talk to this guy again. Yeah. And he's saying the exact same things. He's saying, but this time, by the way, he says that he's struggling with the idea of whether him and Jen are meant for each other, which I wanted to note he did not mention yesterday. When he had talked to Jen after the family one-on-one sit down, he had said to her, I know I'm fully in with you. I just put a lot of pressure on myself that I need to be the husband and the man for you, blah, 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 blah. He did not mention that he was concerned about whether him and Jen were meant for each other. That was a new little add-on that he didn't communicate with Jen.
And that you're absolutely right. Added that. But they both said this thing.
Jesse and Marcus?
Marcus and Devin.
Okay.
They both said this. I don't know if I can be... He didn't say... Like, Devin said this later. Oh, Marcus God. Said, I don't know if I can be the man you need.
I'm sick about it.
What is that?
That's called the most family. I'll be real with you.
That is such like, a weird thing
Evan,
to say.
I love you like, so much. And I know there are good men out there, but this season has made me hate men.
You know what that watching is? This, it's almost like this kind of like, what is she saying? And what is she doing that is maybe abnormal or isn't the typical relationship that you're like, I don't know how I can be the thing you need. Like, is she asking for something that is like more than normal? Like,
what is happening? Of course she's not asking for anything out of the ordinary.
That's what I'm saying.
It's two men who are too cowardly to say, I don't want to be with you anymore.
But exactly. Too cowardly. They don't know themselves enough to know they want to get married. And secondly,
that they don't want to get married. Yeah.
Right. And then secondly, to be honest and say, I don't think this is right. They have to do this thing. And this is what Marcus was driving me crazy on. To get back to Marcus. Marcus was wanting to get broken up with. Because then he could play the victim.
1,000%. And I think Devin wanted that too.
But especially Marcus. He was doing that thing where he's going, I just don't know if I can be the man you need. And I don't know if I could be the father because I'm just not worthy. And I am just this sad man and I'll never deserve a love like yours. Right. And you should probably break up with me because of that. Mm-hmm. And that's why he wouldn't talk. She's like, what do I do here? And he's like, Yeah, this is a great question, man. And the universe hopefully will answer one day. Oh, you break up with me? Oh, I'm so sorry. You know what? I think you're right.
Yep.
You saw him almost get relieved by getting broken up.
Yeah, because he wanted to get broken up with.
Instead of just being like,
right.
I'm so sorry. Like, I don't think this is right.
No,
I'm kind of coming to terms.
These two men doing the whole, I just don't think
it's
I was
me,
able
not you.
To. That's what it is.
It's what it
it's
is.
It's 100%. It's not me. It's you.
It's not me. It's
and
you.
And you're like, shut.
Or it's not you. It's me. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not you. It's me.
It's not you. It's me.
Exactly.
It's not you.
Exactly.
It's me. And the way that I feel about you.
Yes.
That's what it is.
It's just two men being absolute cowards and saying, it's not you. It's me. Instead of just saying, hey, I don't know if I'm ready for this. I don't. And I got to go. And having the courage to be that way. But it's just these two men on national TV who want to come out looking like a hero. And are too yeah. scared to. And then look at how they end up. Look at how they end up being then.
And I have one
like
more
coming
comment
out
about them, too.
Full villains.
I have many comments, but this is another comment. They both did this thing. And I'm sorry, I'm kind of crossbreeding. I'm just yeah. I'm just going like. They both would say similar stuff. So I wonder yeah. if I talk about Marcus in this way, it'll also apply to Devin. My number one bothering thing.
Yeah.
My number one.
Yeah.
We both saw you grow on the show. What is that?
The most patronizing.
What is this? It meant a lot to be with you. I loved our connection and watching you grow into the woman you are now. What are you? Her dad? Like, what is that weird? Like, why we watched you grow?
The most patronizing.
What was she
just
like child when she joined and then she became a woman in front of your very eyes? What is that? We watched you grow. They both said it.
Mm-mm.
Like, what do you mean she grew? What was she like when you first met her? And now she's this different. Like, that's a really weird page. It's very. I put myself on a pedestal above you to be like. We had an amazing thing and to watch you grow was amazing. I'm so proud of you. And I wish you the best out there in that big, bad world that
yeah,
I prepared you
it's
for.
It's two men who are like, I'm an alpha.
Yeah. And you know what? You're not on my level, but I watched you grow and it was beautiful. Like that's what they were saying.
Well, I mean, and that's 1,000% what we obviously saw Devin do once he got on stage with Jen. But also, in my opinion, what Marcus did on stage
yes.
as well in a different way.
Just less...
Less
combative.
Yes, less combative, but we'll talk about it. But yeah, I mean, Marcus had his sit down with Jesse and it was just like, you know, Jesse's exhausted and we're having this conversation.
Like, can we just get to the ad, the 17th ad
because
I have
to do?
He's just
like,
this.
I just don't know what I want to do and I know I care about Jen, but you know, and he's like, yeah, dude, a proposal's supposed to be tomorrow?
Yes.
So are you going to figure it out or no? And then Jesse, of course, in production mode is like, listen, it's the last date, so if deep down you love her, you gotta tell her, because I'm afraid you're gonna lose her. Such a producer moment. Like,
he's
just
like,
tell
can
her,
you please
just
make this
tell
a little
her
more interesting.
You love her. Just tell her you love her. Such a producer moment. And then we have the conversation with Jen and Marcus, and she goes, I am not doing another
yeah.
full date with this man. I'm going straight to his hotel room. And she's like, listen, buddy, okay, there's an engagement tomorrow. I mean, what are we going to do on our date today? You think that today is all of a sudden going to be
a good time?
The shift, the reason, like that all of a sudden today is going to make
right.
you officially fall in love with me? And, you know, he's crying again, mostly silent. He says he regrets not diving deeper on what the future looks like, because they bring up the fantasy suite and how she said you were talking about your future and how excited you were for your future, but I wasn't part of that conversation.
Yes.
And
it's
also,
it's always I want to be a father. And, not, I want to. How about you worry about Jen first?
Yeah. How about you hit
children?
Yeah,
with her.
Yeah. It's like let's go there first. But also, we did get a little nugget when she sat down with Marcus later after the final rose. She said there were moments in the fantasy suite where we realized we were on different pages, and I go politics.
Yeah,
plus.
I bet they were sitting there chatting about life and how kids uh-huh. should be raised
yep.
and all that stuff. And it was like,
I think maybe that's what turned the knob for Jen to be a no.
It's almost like she lost the goo goo eyes.
Because it was the reality.
Before it was just like crazy sexual tension and her just being like worshiping him almost.
Yeah.
And like he was giving her nothing. It was almost like once she kind of saw the depths
past.
Of him, it was like, oh,
and it was like, well, I'm hearing about what you want for your future and what you're into. And we have a very different.
Yeah.
understanding
yeah.
of what we would like moving forward or what, you know, what yeah. we associate with, et cetera, yeah. et cetera. I found that to be interesting. But he's just, you know, again, it's the same song and dance. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's just,
but he goes, so same song and dance, multiple.
I'm scared.
Then he goes, I love you. I want to give it a try.
He says, at the end of the day, I know I love you and I want to be the person that fights for us and I want to give it a try.
So, right as she just is about to break up with him, he goes, I love you and I want to give it a try. First of all, what does that mean?
What does it mean?
Like, I want to give this engagement thing, like this marriage thing, this life thing a try.
Us dating today?
What have you been doing the whole time?
What are you going to give the next 24 hours a try? And
have you not
see
been trying and now you're going to start trying? Like, what does it mean? It's the cowardly back out instead of being strong enough to be honest about your feelings, making her break up with you so that you could walk away being like, yeah, I just am not the man she needs.
Yep. And God bless, she walks away. And when she comes back, you know, I'm afraid of losing you. I've fallen in love with you. I've been honest. And he kept doing this whole thing like, listen, I'm a good guy. I've been honest the whole time. It's like, it doesn't work like that. Mm-mm. Sure, you've been honest, but you're still here. Like, what are you doing?
For the very few things you've said, you've been honest. Yeah.
Yes. But then he wraps that up with, and I know I'm not giving you what you need. Ugh. And that's the moment where I completely agree with what you're saying. And it was like, end it with
me.
Like, he was like asking
take me
her.
Out. Yep, do it.
Do it.
End it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to give it a try. I love you. And I'm sorry that I can't do it.
But I know that I'm not. I'm in love with you, but I know I'm not what you need. That was him being like, just cut me loose. And God bless. She's like, I gave you too much of my heart along the entire way. Yes. I was just giving and giving and I'm done waiting. She's done. She said, I deserve a partner who gives to me as much as I give to them. And she walks out and we're just like,
yes. he's like, thank you. Like you'd almost tell he was like, thank God.
But
I didn't have to do that.
It was just a moment where it's like literally the entire live audience like burst into cheers.
Yeah,
when
everyone's
she
like,
ended
God.
It. Yes, because it was just like this guy. It's like, but then we move into his sit down with Jesse and Jen at After the Final Rose, which I have some things to say about. Yeah. But before we got to take another quick pause. Listen, family, you know, at the end of the day, I want what's best for Jen and what she wants, but I cannot lie to you and say that deep in my wistful romantic novel heart, I'm not hoping and praying that after the final rose, that Jonathan was like, Jen, do you want to go out and grab a drink together? And I kind of hope that like they went out and had a drink and maybe there's like some rekindling going on because you know how I feel about Jonathan and you know how I feel about Jen. But speaking of drinking, you all know that I enjoy a night out with some champs and some wine. But the truth is, I do not bounce back the next day like I used to. And I know we've all tried ways to feel good after a night of drinks, but I have found something that actually works. It is a pre-alcohol probiotic from the brand ZBiotics.
Yeah, ZBiotics pre-alcohol prebiotic was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. This is a proactive solution that wards off feeling miserable the next day instead of a reactive approach like drinking electrolytes or eating greasy food.
Listen, when I first heard about ZBiotics pre-alcohol, to be honest, I was pretty skeptical, but I can tell you all, I have used this numerous times now, and I wake up the next day and the difference is noticeable. I'm ready to take on the day. If I drink it before, I know I can confidently plan a busy next day after drinking, which is incredible. Like the other night, I hit the town with Aunt Katie. I drank my ZBiotics pre-alcohol beforehand. You make it the first drink of the night. I went out, I enjoyed my night. And the next morning I woke up and I went straight to the work calls. I wrote my copy. I got done what I needed to get done. I had a full successful day. It was amazing. So join the movement of empowered people choosing ZBiotics for fresher and more productive mornings. Go to ZBiotics.com/momdad to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code MOMDAD at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantees, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/momdad and use the code MOMDAD at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring the episode and our good times. I'm telling y'all, the other night, I had Z-Biotics beforehand and I thought it was going to be a rough next morning and it was not. So thank you, Z-Biotics. Okay, on to Marcus's hot seat in After the Final Rose. First of all, I just want to say the fact that they gave Marcus a hot seat and they did not address the allegations was a problem to me. Like, I'm not surprised with the history of this show, but it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if, you know, obviously interviews are always conducted for like the next week or two after with the final people. I'm like curious if they're going to, if reporters are going to talk to him about this or if the show is going to try to like, you know, keep him away from interviews because they're trying to avoid this conversation.
That, but that seems like the more.
But it was a problem to me that like we have a hot seat and these allegations are not addressed. That's first and foremost. But another thing about Marcus is something that was like emanating off the screen to me was an arrogance that I feel from him that I feel like we didn't necessarily see in the editing of this show. So during what we saw of Marcus, it was a lot of obviously him talking about his past, him crying, him saying the same ring around the rosy business where he's like, I'm not in love and I feel the pressure and That's what we as the audience saw. But in this sit down, I right away noted that before she came out, he said to Jesse, he was like, you know, after spending months lifting Jen up and reminding her who she is, and it was like, what are you talking about?
That was super weird.
Like, had to throw that in.
It's like, it's weird. She's really insecure, so I had to build her up.
It's like, after
really
months,
proud of the way she's grown.
Just throwing that in was so unnecessary.
Really,
like, I've been spending months lifting her up. And it's like, okay, well, at least from what we saw, she was basically holding your hand and walking you through this the entire time. And then when Jen and Marcus sat down together, you know, she was like extremely gracious and only said very nice things about how she felt about him. And he was just kind of like, same. He literally said like, feelings are similar. And the whole conversation, it felt like an interview.
Yes.
There was no emotion coming from his end. It was literally like hands crossed, like, very nice to be invited to this interview. Yes. It was like they had had one dinner together.
It's very like, I'm proud of us.
Yes. But
I'm
it was
proud of me too. Cause like, you know, when you think about it, you know, it was just kind of this weird, like, hey, how are you? It meant a lot. You're an amazing, but it was just kind of this, like, it's almost like they completed like a work project together.
Yes.
And they're like
that's
watching
what I'm saying,
you grow from my employee to like my peer. And you know, now we've got this project together. It's really great.
And it was like, this is an opportunity for you to acknowledge what it must have been like for Jen in the situation. And instead what he says is he said, I loved you enough to get out of your way. And I said, Number one, when? You literally stayed the entire time.
You had her break up with you. And then you she told her you loved her before, right before she broke up with you.
She broke up with you. What do you mean you got out of her way?
Right after you said, I love you, I want to try.
You
literally, for just a split second, said, I want to keep going. And then she broke up with you. And then you said, I loved you enough. What are you, Jesus? I loved you enough to pick your, what is it like to pick you up?
Oh, the footprints.
Yeah. Footprints. Like I carried you on the beach.
There were two sets of footprints and then there was one.
And then we were in Hawaii. There was two sets of footprints and then there was one because I was,
because I carried you.
It's
like, were we supposed to praise you for what, Marcus? He was holding on to the entire time that he was like, but I was honest. And it's like, no, it doesn't work that way. Okay. You should have left.
Yes.
And now you're going to try to take this credit walking away by being
Were you honest? You told her you loved her. 6 seconds before you said you didn't love her.
Okay. Well, enough of that hot seat. On to Jesse lets us know. Okay. We go back to Hawaii and Jen is having the conversation with Jesse where she lets him know that she's done letting men dictate her journey. She woke up this morning with a different point of view and she's going to do what's going to make her happiest. And she is choosing to propose to Devin. And, you know, she even mentions in this, it's like she wants him to feel like loved and chosen, which of course makes sense because he's been the one this whole time who was the one going to her being like, you know, I'm so in love with you. I'm so in love with you. Like, please feel the same way. And so in love, she was like, I'm going to, number one, dictate my journey. And number two, I'm going to show him how much I care by choosing to propose to him. And not to sound like Jesse Palmer when I say this and being like, Jen, you were so powerful and da-da-da. But it is a moment that, you know, was devastating to me for Jen to have it be, you know, unbeknownst to her, this to propose to this man who was essentially lying to her the entire time.
Yeah.
Because it is a moment in Bachelor, Bachelorette history that is so pivotal.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's so amazing to see a bachelorette propose. And I remember telling you, and I think I said this on the podcast, that during preview for the show, however many weeks ago, when they showed a clip, and I told Ember, I think maybe she proposes.
I did not think that was going to be the case.
When I said the rumor is that maybe she proposes, and Ember immediately was like, I want to do that one day.
Yeah.
She's so beautiful and cool, and I really like her. I want to be like her and do that one day. And it was such a special moment to see. You know, it was like, it was a moment on television that was powerful, which, by the way, another moment on television that was powerful that I didn't mention before is seeing Jen's family and the Vietnamese language represented and having these moments that were so special and powerful on television to then have via production, via fucking Devin, it result in this.
Yeah.
And again, not to sound like Jesse Palmer, but I do hope to a certain extent that Jen like realizes and feels how incredible she was in that moment to step into that. And that even though it ended this way and that production was a fucking nightmare and that Devin was the worst, that there were people like my daughter who saw her propose and go, I want to do that one day. And then, like she said, too, also getting all these messages from people who are Vietnamese being like, seeing this represented on television, it meant everything.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of everything that went down, you know, Jen, I hope she knows how truly incredible she is and feels that and the love through all of this bullshit.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But yes, she decides that that is what she is going to do. And then we cut to Jesse back in studio saying, why am I interrupting? And everyone's laughing because we're thinking like, oh, it's going to be like a cute moment. And Jesse's like, it's me. Why am I interrupting? Well, because I'm coming here. You're not going to see the proposal right now. And he's making it like smirky and smiling. You're thinking it's going to be some like cutesy, like, hold on, quick
we're
commercial.
We're going to do it live in the studio.
Yeah, or something like that. And then he's just like, well, we all decided it wouldn't be appropriate for anyone to see it until you hear from Jen. Like, are you actually kidding me?
It was really weird, too, because
you're going to pull that nonsense.
Yeah.
Is like, this, you're going to act like Jen was like, can we please do it this way?
Mm-hmm. Have we had, sorry for my stupidity here, but like, when was the last time?
It's not stupidity, it's just a lack of, lack of the knowledge. History. And the,
when was the last time there was a, they weren't together at the show? Has it ever happened?
Oh, you mean that they...
That they're not together, you know, at the live.
Yeah, so it's been two months.
You know what I mean? 3 months, whatever it is.
Well, you know who it was.
Who?
And she was sitting in that damn audience and my heart was in my stomach for her. Rachel Recchio with Tino.
Right. Okay.
Remember, they got engaged.
Right.
And then they showed one of their happy couple suites where they were having a big fight and he had kissed another woman.
Right, right. Okay.
And so, Rachel's, by the way, sitting in the audience the whole time and they kept showing her. And I was thinking like, oh my God, talk about a sisterhood where here's this woman who's like, obviously it's a different scenario, but like feeling for Jen. And then also, can you imagine Rachel sitting there like having memories of the head honchos in charge who are deciding how to go about it and like how painful it is and like then seeing how they handled the Jen situation?
Why didn't they just do it? You know what I mean? Like if them being not together was such an issue.
What do you mean?
I'm saying they should have just shown the thing and then brought them out, like just like they probably did with Rachel. So it's like really weird that they waited like for her to do it. But the idea that like there's been multiple times when the lead and the number one are not together at the finale.
Yeah.
To then just bust out this like really weird backwards way of doing it.
But that's what I'm saying is like when we're talking about how cruel it was.
Right.
That JP kept saying this is the most dramatic finale ever. And it's like, well, technically, the reason it's the most dramatic finale ever is because you torched the lead.
Yeah.
Like she proposed, which was historical. So yes, there's a never before seen thing, but there have been numerous situations where the final, you know, guy
right.
ends up screwing over the lead. And so that's happened before.
Right.
But they said it's the most dramatic finale ever because the way in which they torched Jen
right.
by doing it in that order,
was
so
crazy.
Screwed up. I mean, it just the drama was in the shows and productions and head honchos active choice.
Yeah.
Obviously, of course, it's Devin being an absolute dick.
Right.
But what made it so that way and so yuck.
Yeah.
And then again, them taglining it with like the most dramatic season ever, or dramatic right. finale ever. You're like by your own hand and to the detriment of your lead.
Yes.
Like, what you could have made this, even though Devin, what he did was terrible. You could have made it a situation where, yes, you show it. Because you show the proposal. Maybe you don't even show the proposal. Maybe you listen to your lead and your lead says, I don't want to show the proposal.
Right.
And all you do is have them come up on stage and say, because Jen, we want to respect Jen, we're not going to show this proposal.
Right.
But yes, she did propose to him, which was a very empowered thing to do. And now he did this and let her go in on him and then have an empowering moment for Jen.
Yeah.
And yet, they left it like this.
So weird. Or just do it the way you always do it. There's no reason to change it up for no reason and then make it weird. Yeah, it's so strange.
God, it's so upsetting. Okay, we have to take one final pause
yes.
Before we finish up this and talk about her sit down with Devin, which is bananas.
Wild.
Okay. Well, as you all know, we watched this finale and we watched the after the final rose, and we did so in our home. Which I do love watching our Bachelorette episodes in our home, because not only is home where the heart is, it also has the furniture in it that I adore, because the furniture is gorgeous. It's high quality and was priced so well. You know that furniture was from Article. Article.com, babes. It's our absolute favorite. Over the years, we have got couches, chairs, dining room tables, side tables, and more from Article, because every time we are wowed by the beauty and the quality, the ease of the website, the customer service and shipping process, and the prices.
Yes, the prices are incredible because of their online-only model. And on top of that, Article offers fast, affordable shipping across the U.S. and Canada. But their indoor and outdoor furniture pieces are so good-looking.
So good-looking.
Article's team of designers are all about finding the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. They're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship and that stands the test of time and looks good doing it. Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandinavian, and boho designs makes furniture shopping super simple.
That's something I love about Article. The way that they've curated their pieces makes it easy to put together a gorgeous home. I am not someone who has the gift of that interior designer eye, but with Article, I'm able to put pieces together that always look good and cohesive. I love it. And their shipping and customer care team are a 10. After you order, they won't leave you waiting around. You pick the delivery time and they'll send you updates every step of the way. And Article's knowledgeable customer care team is there when you need them to make sure your experience is smooth and stress-free. Ours always has been outstanding. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/momdad and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/momdad for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Okay, so we are in the studio now and Jen has her hot seat.
Yeah.
And Evan, she is sobbing so hard that she cannot even talk.
Especially, well, there's two elements to this, which is, I don't think I've ever seen anyone cry this hard.
No.
Where they can't talk. Yeah. Usually it's the tears rolling, but there's talking, like talking through the tears. Secondly, Jen is not
a crier. No.
You know what I mean? Like sometimes we have the criers.
Sure.
Where it's like every scene they're crying about anything. Jen is the opposite. Jen has been able to hold it together the entire time, the ups and downs, even though she's had like a tumultuous, like weird season with all sorts of like, wait, I'm on the finale and the guy hasn't even told me he loves me yet. And you saw, because we, like you said, we were kind of going through this thing where it was like, does she even like him that much, Devin? Is she going to be able to get over the fact that maybe they don't have this raw chemistry, whatever? She gave herself over all the way.
She fully, like,
she went when all, I don't
she
know, yeah, she just
proposed
fully committed
to him. It was like,
I'm
she
in.
Was all in.
All in. And then...
And it's like you felt it too, because I know that I've compared myself numerous times to Jen during this journey.
Right.
But I do feel her in that way. Like I've expressed, you know, I'm not somebody who jumps into love. I have walls up. It takes me a long time. I am a flirt machine, but I like right. actually don't give myself sure. over. But once I do, it is like every part of me is in. And watching her just like sobbing, I wanted to, like, every bone in my body wanted to just like take her and like get her off that stage. And especially considering that then we hear from her that her and Devin have not spoken and he essentially was ghosting her and they haven't had this like necessary talk. The fact that they're making her have this conversation on stage, like in the past, we've had, you know, for instance, Rachel and Tino, it was filmed in The Happy Couple. And yes, though that was, I'm not saying that that was easy and it was still terrible to watch, but it still felt, it was private.
Yeah.
But for them to make her sit there and they haven't had this conversation and she has to then like process all of this in real time is unbelievable. And yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no. It was interesting to watch because he did the same thing Marcus did. Marcus did it in a different way. He said, I loved you enough to get out of your way, which he didn't. And then Devin says, I came here for you. And she's going, you've been ghosting me for a month. Mm-hmm. Like maybe you came here because there's a contract.
Yeah, maybe it's you came here because
you wanted to save your face. Mm-hmm. Maybe all those reasons. Maybe you grew out some facial hair and you felt like you had a glow up and you wanted to show that live on TV. But like this whole I did this for you thing while following Maria.
Well, yeah, we'll get into
okay.
all
but you know
that.
What I'm saying? But it's like that. That's what bummed me out. Was like, listen.
I mean, it was just full.
Things happen in relationships, but nothing about his actions were I did this for you.
No, it was all quite the opposite. And he like genuinely was just gaslighting the hell out of her on stage, yeah. being like, I'm yes. here for you.
Yes.
And I'm so sorry that this is how you read everything. And I'm not going to take that away from you and argue about that. It's like, yeah, you're not going to fucking argue about it because you don't have an argument, dude. We've watched you this entire season. You love to argue. We all know if you had any argument or anything to say that you'd be the first one out there with receipts, all this shit.
Also, the whole like, let's not talk about my actions. Remember when he would like, I don't want to talk about all my actions afterwards. I just want to talk about the breakup.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's please. Like,
of course you don't.
Yeah.
Because your actions make you look bad.
Yeah.
You Correct. Know what I'm saying?
Correct.
It's like,
I'm not here to talk about what I did after. Let's just get back to the point. You're like, what are you literally talking about?
The point is
about?
What you did after, too. You know what yeah, I mean? It's like, it's yeah,
that's part of the point. That's part of the thing, Devin. But before Devin comes out, she... lets everybody know, you know, they left Hawaii engaged, happiest day of her life.
Yeah.
And as soon as they left Hawaii, she said things were different. He was pulling away. They had talked about like moving somewhere. That went away. His efforts were inconsistent. And then they had a happy couple planned, and which are, by the way, far and few between. So right. those are like precious. You're like, right. you plan your happy couple. And those are like the few times that the lead and the final person get to actually see each other and spend like 24, 48 hours together. You know, secretly, the day before he called her, we find out later, a 15-minute phone call because he didn't have the time, and ended the engagement the night before the happy couple. And this was, I think, about a month ago. He said he didn't love her anymore. Since the proposal, he regretted getting engaged. And what she said is that she was like, okay, let's just date. I don't need a ring, which again shows you that she was like full
and willing to make
it's
it
like,
work.
I don't need to be engaged to you. Like, I know that that's what I'd wanted this whole process, but like, I love you. I want to make this work. We don't need to be engaged. Like, let's just try this. And she said he was fully checked out. And of course, you know, Jesse was just like, I'm shocked because he was so in love and passionate. What do you think changed? And I love when she looked at him and she goes, I don't know.
Like, that's why am I here?
Like, yeah. This is why I'm sitting here going, we haven't had a conversation and I don't understand what's going
on. I can't get him
like,
to call me back, basically.
I have no idea. And she said he felt pressured to get engaged and didn't want it. And now thinking back to all these episodes, it's like, to be in Jen's shoes, that man let not one hint of a pressure of engagement out.
She didn't even tell you she loved you right away. You were fighting
for her. You ran to her room and begged her to confirm her love for you.
You literally, like we said, almost basically an ultimatum, being like, I'm out of here if you don't tell me you love me.
You told her you'd wait for forever.
You literally said you'd wait for forever.
And you are saying that you felt pressure.
And within a month, you break up. It's like, what?
That's why I'm saying, I think he had a plan in his mind of how he was going to become the next Bachelor. And it didn't work out the way that
I hate to say this, but it's like, if they were living together for 2 months.
Yes.
Okay, that's a lot of concentrated time.
Sure.
And she even said this. I understand people getting in the real world and realizing this is not the relationship that you
That's called life sometimes. It's life. Yes. She's like, I get how this process is.
Yes. You kind of get out of camp and you're like, wait a second, we're not right for each other. But also long distance is like, you're very little quality time. You're still living off the high of it all.
I bet that they got maybe two happy couples before he broke up with her, which is like two one-on-one times together.
So it's a little bit like, and she even said like after a month, it was like pretty clear it was dead.
No, she said the next day.
No. I'm saying there was 2 months total, right? Before.
And then he broke up with her.
But she was kind of saying within like a couple of weeks, it was like clearly
but
he was not around.
Right after
this.
The proposal.
Right. Something changed.
He shifted. And then he was like, I felt pressured to get engaged.
And then he says, like, he admits to the fact that like he could have done better communicating.
But it's again, you ghosted her
again. Yeah, could have done better. So weird for like such an early relationship not to have the communications about what's going on. Like, it's very like I gotta feel like I really just feel for her in the way of like it would be really hard. Like, if this happened with Marcus, it's kind of like there's a level of like we saw it from
you're
day
like,
one.
Well,
you kind of wanted this thing, and I could even see him saying, "I felt pressure doing it." You know, I did.
And you wouldn't be surprised, but
it's on arc.
But imagine being in a place where you're like, "I have a pattern of dating emotionally unavailable guys, and I'm going to break that pattern because this guy has done nothing
on paper very emotionally
but been
available.
Like, I'm there for you no matter what," and then he pulls back.
How does that not give you a complex later, like in your own personal life now, when you go out and date and you're like, "Wait, so the the unavailable guys are just the same as the available guys. Like, you can't trust any of them."
Well, we're going to talk about casting in a minute here. But she then says, you know, "Jesse, are you ready to see him now?" And she goes, "I don't know. I've been trying to see him."
Right.
"He's been avoiding."
Yeah, like this is like.
So like, I guess I'm ready to see him. Yes, I've been trying to see him.
Yeah.
And then Devin comes out, and Evan, he comes out, sits down, touches her leg. I almost jumped into the TV screen.
It was like, dude, what are you touching her leg for?
Don't you dare touch her leg.
The leg touch is like we broke up, realized it wasn't right, but we're on good terms.
The leg touch is Jonathan.
The leg touch is we're cool. We're not together anymore,
but
we're
even
cool.
That, there's like this like non-consensual, like we're not together. Do not fucking touch her leg.
Right. But
do not touch her leg.
It does signal like hug. Hey, how are you? I miss you. I hope you're well. Didn't work out for us, but it doesn't signal I've been ghosting you for a month.
Literally, I almost lost my mind. And Jen then said, and I was so happy she said this, because this again was like a nod to like production is torturing me and making me do this right now. She's like, "This is not the conversation that I wanted, and it isn't going to be meaningful to me." She said, "I wanted a conversation off camera because we respect each other, or we owe each other this respect."
Yeah.
And so she like signaled to the audience, it's like, by the way, this isn't meaningful to me because I'm being forced to be in this position. And this is not how I wanted to have this conversation.
Yeah.
And again, like you said, she was like, "Hey, I get relationships not working out. What I have a huge problem with is after we broke up our engagement, number one, it was a 15-minute phone call breakup. And then immediately after... You broke up with me. You went on Instagram and followed girls, including Maria.
Why did he have to follow her?
I mean, dude, I don't know, Evan. You tell me why men are out here doing the same thing, liking certain women's Instagram posts. And you're like, why are you? You know, we can all see
this. If you're into Maria and you guys are broken up and you were completely unemotional about it and you're not connected to Jen and you're just like completely... You can scope at potentials, but you don't need to be signaling it to hurt her, because that's really what it is. It's like the clubbing thing. I don't know how she knew, but there must have been a post.
Obviously.
Right. Either he or Jeremy or someone posted.
You're on my shit list, Jeremy.
Where it's like, wait, what's the point of like posting about it? Is that, oh, obviously it's because you're like hoping other girls are there, whatever, but it's like, can you not wait a couple weeks till even after all this clears?
It's absolute,
I don't give a shit about your feelings.
It's absolute disrespect.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are on a massive TV show, a public platform where everyone can see you, and you're following someone and everyone can see it, including your ex-fiance.
Which made me mad because he kept doing this thing of, we're both hurting.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm saying? Like, don't say that. Just say, I'm sorry I hurt you.
Oh, no. He kept
but
going.
But we're both hurting?
He kept going, I know how you feel. And then he was like, he's like, yeah, well, you know my past. I've experienced this. It's like, well, so then grow from your past.
You're
and
literally
if you've been
doing
hurt,
the thing.
Then don't do what's happened to you, you jerk.
You're literally doing the thing that you said was your sob story.
Like, his entire fucking narrative
his
the entire time was like,
exactly
I've been Joe's second or third.
And then like, Eric cut to commercial and he goes, what's happening? Like, I thought
he's
I was
like,
going to come
he
on here and be
like
praised.
Laughed.
She and said, then, this is not the same man that I proposed to. And he's like, what? It's kind of like, how do you not see this? You know what it really is? I hate to be like, when you're that toxic, it is foreign to you that you don't you don't have any like actual perspective on how you act.
Yeah.
You literally are just like, no, this is what I always do. What's the problem? It's these girls who are crazy.
I saw someone once, and I'm not saying I'm no therapist, and so I'm not saying that I'm diagnosing Devin as a narcissist. Yeah. So please don't take that away from
sure.
this. But I saw someone recently talk about how a lot of times kids, when like, you know, they're our age or getting older, they look back on their families and how their parents treated them and like are able to, they're like, you took me through so much trauma. And the parents always go, what are you talking about?
Right.
And I saw someone say like, well, when you're like the narcissist or the person who's pushing the trauma and so deep in that, that it's not hurting you. So you don't even recognize
yes.
it. Does that make sense?
100%.
So it's like how we walk away being
it's
like,
all relative
like,
to
wow,
how you feel
like,
about everything.
Like, wow, mom and dad, like, yeah, my upbringing was super traumatic. And your parents are like, what are you even talking about? Like, that didn't happen. And you're like, it did happen. But because they're so in their own sauce, it's like they don't even care.
Because,
and they don't
again,
recognize
they're more
it.
Concerned. They're more concerned with how they look in this situation than about the other person's
and
feeling.
And I think even beyond that, it's like all they care about is themselves.
Right.
But they're not even able to recognize that it happened.
Right.
Because they don't care about anybody else.
Yeah.
And it was giving a level
of
like
that weird
of
like
him
detachment.
Not being able to even for a moment recognize how she must be feeling or what happened. And it just being like, well, I felt that way too.
It was like, we have to be the same. We're both hurting. We're both going through a lot. This is really hard for both of us. So we both need, I think he honestly thought they both were going to go on. And it was like, that was really hard for both of us. Shake hands. You know, I'm really sorry that happened to both of us. But not to actually be called out for all the bad behavior.
I agree with you. I think that he thought that it was going to be like a mutual
like a
sadness.
Hug,
and I'm like,
you,
in what world, my guy, do you think that
he,
what went down?
Because at one point he goes, what, am I not allowed to live my life? It's like, dude, I mean, maybe just wait a week before you like burn her like publicly.
And that moment when she brought up the fact that he was clubbing with Jeremy and they shot to Jeremy.
And Jeremy was smiling. It was like, brother, do better.
Well,
hide the smile.
Well, let me tell you something, Evan. All these men, they're on my fucking shit list, okay? I love Jonathan. And Jonathan yes. at the beginning of this episode, because a group of those men were there, right? Jonathan at the beginning of the episode was just like, well, I heard what went down. I wanted to be there for Jen. I believe that Jonathan
yes.
wanted to be there because he's in love with Jen, okay?
Yes.
That's my narrative and no one can tell me otherwise. He's in love with Jen and I hope that maybe that ends up working out for them, okay? Other than that, those other men sitting there, Jeremy, even at the beginning, was like, well, we heard about what is going down and we heard rumors about what went down. And, you know, Marcus and Devin are our brothers.
Well, Jeremy said, I'm here for Jen. Jeremy said,
no, Devin
sorry,
or
Jonathan.
Jonathan said, I'm here for Jen.
Jeremy said, I'm here for my boys.
And he said, Marcus and Devin are my brothers. And I'm like, trust and believe. Jeremy knows exactly what went down, and yet you're going to sit there and stand by Marcus and Devin, and that whole crew of you are there for your brothers. All of you suck.
And Hakeem wants to be loved by everyone because he's like, I'm here for support. General support.
How cute. I'm just here to just sit between the Mormon wives and give you some faceography. Yeah. No, but there was actually a couple scenes where, like, when Marcus was, when, like, the breakup between Marcus and Jen happened, Hakeem was sitting there like this with his eyes closed, like, no more.
He's like,
I love Hakeem and I love Jonathan.
He's like, this is too
stressful.
And
I obviously love Grant. Yeah. Everybody else on my shit list. Mm-hmm. You know what went down.
Yeah.
And the first thing you're going to say before this starts is that you're here for your brothers, Marcus and Devin. And then we find out that, like, right after, you took Devin clubbing, and Lord knows you guys are just going around the club. Yeah. We're from the Bachelorette, which, by the way, leads to my thought on casting and how they screwed Jen over. Jen has received a lot of, like, negative feedback during the season, which I understand. Some of these final guys were like, why? Okay. I get that. And I hear that, but, like, the hate towards Jen is ridiculous. Jen's been a fabulous bachelorette. And what needs to be acknowledged is the fact that, again, like we talked about in the Men Tell All episode, we all thought it was going to be Daisy or definitely Maria. Okay. And at the final hour, they gave it to Jen. And what should have happened is a pause where then they cast men for Jen. This cast was created for, I believe, Maria.
Yeah.
And so you have a crew of men who are there for Maria. And then the show has the audacity to come out and be like, oh my gosh, look at our first Asian American bachelorette. And have this really important fucking conversation during the Men Tell All, where Jen was so open about her Vietnamese culture and the patriarchy and what this has meant to her. And then you have the audacity to be like, look, this is our first Asian American bachelorette, and then not cast for her. And so, of course, she's left in the situation where it's like, there's now these chunk of men who are like, well, I did think it was going to be Maria. I'm so mad. I'm drenched in sweat. Like, I'm so mad.
Yeah.
And then all, like you said, all these things that Devin is saying are making me absolutely furious, because, you know, it's just, again, just tiptoeing around, you know, I'm sorry you feel that way. I was honest, though, if you think, and you're like, stop. No, you were not. We all saw you. We all saw how you acted. And then you're not going to come on this stage and give Jen a formal explanation of, like, why you went so hard and then fully ripped back.
Yeah.
And then you're just going to gaslight her and say, let's not talk about what happened after. Unbelievable.
It's like, listen, babe, I cheated on you. Yes. But let's talk about that one time that you did this thing I didn't like. It's like, well, no, we're here for this reason. Like, I'm mad at you for those reasons. If you would have communicated to me clearly and broken up with me and it was clean and respectable, and then you acted nicely afterwards, we wouldn't be here.
And then, like you said, too, to add insult to injury, he starts rambling about how Jen has blossomed. And does the whole patronizing.
Nothing worse than being broken up with, treated like shit, and then told that they're proud of you. I mean, that is a cauldron of blood boiler.
And let me say something about our queen, Jen, okay? Check this shit out. She goes on Instagram after the show airs and writes an Instagram story post, a long one, that basically says, I so appreciate the love and support, but just FYI, please don't send hate to anybody. And does a long thing about how she's like, you mean us? Hey, listen, I'm not sliding into his DMs, okay? Yeah. I'm not contacting the man, but I'm going to say what I have to say.
Of course.
But she writes this long thing where she's like, hey, please, you know, don't send anybody hate. I've experienced in this process, like, hate and all these things, and that is not what I want. You know, I hope for growth and da-da-da-da-da. The most gracious host that she puts out there. That's all she puts out there. And then also, Rob Mills, who is one of the producers of the show, tweeted this, which I'm like, what does this mean? He tweeted and said, well, Devin, you had the opportunity to confess if you did anything else to Jen post proposal, .. So maybe I'm reading into this, but to say, well, Devin, you had the opportunity to confess if you did anything else to Jen post proposal means to me more is going to come out. Like, you had the opportunity to confess. So I don't know if there's, again, I'm not saying this because
Yeah.
There's been no allegations of this, but like, are we going to get a cheating thing? Are we going to get like, I mean, what does that mean?
I mean, I don't know. I will say though, like
the club
being right up. And that says that he was clearly emotionally gone well before the breakup.
I'm just saying, who knows what's, by the time that honestly we post this episode, there might've been a full, it fully might've been revealed.
Wow.
But then, that's when Jesse Palmer does the whole like, no one can take this proposal away from you.
Literally, he did.
Should we all watch it together? And she goes, do I have a choice?
We're doing this for you. He did the same thing. He's like, I'm here for you. Let's watch this proposal.
And I don't even want to get into it because it's like,
yeah,
it was just so upsetting. Just her genuine love and sweetness through this. And then them filming her the entire time. And she's like, again, like dry heaving, crying.
Yeah.
And they show the proposal. And after that, Jesse's back to the whole, I hope you feel empowered and da 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 da. And she kind of pauses and you can tell that she's like, well, what else am I like? Okay. Ugh, what the fuck? And she says, you know, I'm proud of that woman. I don't regret proposing to that man, but that man does not exist anymore. And I'm that same woman. And Devin then wraps by saying that he made a lot of promises. And at the time, I believe those things, but it's a one. He's like, it's a one-sided story when we're sitting here like this. And you're like, get off the couch now. Mm-hmm. Get off the couch.
Security.
Security, come.
Security, get him.
Immediately.
Arrest this man.
And I'm going to tell you this right now, Evan. I live arrested. They literally are like, what?
Charge him with a crime immediately. You're under arrest.
But like, him then saying you're trying to, he said you're trying to condense this afterwards.
Yeah.
And it's like, condense what? And I just want Devin to know.
A milk boy, condense this. Sorry, that was a really bad joke.
I kind of loved it though. Okay. Devin, I just want you to know that if you show up on Paradise, I will be so angry.
Oh yeah.
I don't want you on Paradise. Normally, I live for
an arc.
I don't live for an arc. I live for the drama.
That's what I mean. Just like, so if we're like, whoa, so like Sam. Like Sam. I'm excited to see Sam on the beach.
I would like to see Sam.
Yes.
I don't like Sam, but Sam.
But he's a toxic king, and we, you know, he is toxic.
I hate that. But Sam is like, he's going to be drama. It's going to be a nightmare, whatever.
He's
like,
laughable, too. You kind of laughed at him the whole time, being like,
Sam,
God.
Yes, have Sam and Thomas on the beach. It'll be chaos. We're going to have our gorgeous, perfect, amazing Jonathan on the beach. Hakeem, amazing. I do not want Marcus or Devin on the beach. Nobody wants it. ABC, please. Nobody wants them on the beach.
Well, yeah, and if, especially, yeah, it's...
First of all, Marcus, first and foremost, yeah, I'm like, there's brother, that. Like, it's like, this guy's, that man fucking better not be on the beach.
He better not be like, oh, I'm looking for my wife now.
No. That man better not be on the beach. But then part two, Devin, who you know they're going to want to have like a full arc
Devin's
on the
trying.
Beach.
He's
and then because
the
also
producers.
Devin and Sam hate each other and they want that drama. We don't want it anymore.
Right.
Okay. We don't want him on the beach.
Yes.
I don't want him.
Yeah.
So Devin, if I see you on the beach, I'm just letting it be known now.
The lifeguard's going to arrest you.
The lifeguard's going to arrest you and we don't want it. This is not the drama we desire. Okay. No. It's not anything we want.
Ugh.
And then Jen wrapped it by being like, I hope that you learn that the weight of your words matter.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have done what you did. And then Jesse Palmer literally goes, all right, everyone, first look at the Golden Bachelorette.
Yeah, hey, about that. I was kind of a bummer anyway.
You know what's funny, family? I have to be completely honest. We didn't watch the end of the episode, so maybe there was like another moment of Jen at the end.
We intentionally didn't watch it in order to we're completely unspoiled.
So as soon as the Golden Bachelorette preview popped up, Evan and I turned it off because we're doing cast bios next Friday.
Right.
And we were like, I don't want to see these men and get any energy from them. I want it to be fully raw. So sorry, FYI, if there was like a 2-minute ending with Jen at the end. I don't know if there was.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just assumed that it was probably.
Were that dedicated to the craft? So we kept our eyes virgin.
And it was really, really hard because I really wanted to look. But anyway, that's that.
What an ending.
And what a ending, what a season. And I just wanted to say shout out to Jen. I hope the best for you.
Yes.
You are an incredible person. Your family was absolutely lovely and amazing. And you dealt with absolute shitheads this season. And
you're young and beautiful. You have a lot of time ahead of you to find the right person.
But you dealt with absolute shitheads this season. And yet, regardless of that, you like somehow were humble and like grew on your journey. Again, not to be like these fucking guys who are like, I saw you grow. But like, you really did
see. You grew it, not in the way they're saying.
No, you grew in the way that like you were one of, I feel like, our bachelorettes who were the most willing to like be so perspective.
Oh, yeah.
And like, and side note, Jen officially was announced as one of the new contestants on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, wow.
Which, you know, ABC was scrambling because they were so terrible during that. After the final rose, after the final rose, they're like, give her the Dancing with the Stars. Yeah. But I'm so excited for her.
Yeah.
Joey's on it too. But Jen's going to crush. Jen's like so athletic and we've seen that. True. I think Jen's going to absolutely destroy Dancing with the Stars. Too. So we send you so much love and hope that you just like enjoy that time. Let the rage out on the dance floor.
Yes.
Go footloose, girl. Just let it take you over. And, you know, maybe you and Jonathan will end up together. But regardless, you're going to be... have a beautiful life.
Well, we're going to go take a bath.
Yeah, after
that. To clean
that.
This off of ourselves.
And we're going to take a bath and we'll see, family, we'll see you all tomorrow.
See you in 24 hours.
Again, please make sure to send in those call homes. Anything under the sun, send us those questions, the dramas, all of it. And we'll talk to you, family, tomorrow.
Love you.
All right. Love you.
Bye.